Well, as I've mentioned a few times so far in the program this evening, it was a brilliant fortnight down at Melbourne Park, the 2015 Australian Open producing some wonderful matches. But Australia certainly didn't go home empty-handed from our home Grand Slam, with Melbourne's Dylan Alcott breaking through for his maiden Grand Slam in the men's quad wheelchair event. And I'm pleased to say that the winner is on the line with us right now. Good evening, Dylan.
G'day, Kieran. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. The benefit of a couple of days, has it sunk in for you? Your first ever Grand Slam.
Oh, mate, it's pretty amazing. I've been thinking about it for a while, to be honest. I was lucky enough, I got a wild card in the Oz Open last year and couldn't get the job done. So I've been thinking about it ever since then. So to be able to win in your home city with all your friends and family there, it was a dream come true, mate. It was unbelievable.
Not a bad conversion rate either, Dylan, because that was your first final. So you're 1-1.
1-1, I know. Yeah, I lost in the semi. It's a round robin event for us. Only the top four in the world get invited. So the last pool game to get in last year, I lost 9-7 and winning the third. So yeah, I was a bit nervous heading in, but having all my friends and family, and I train at Melbourne Park every day. So to have the home Grand Slam in your backyard, it's a pretty good advantage. So yeah,
Can you quantify how big of an advantage that was, not just to have your family and friends there, big crowd out on show court 6 for the final, but also knowing your surrounds? As I said, you train at Melbourne Park, that's your base. So how much of an advantage did that give you over your opponent in David Wagner?
That's massive. It was a huge benefit. I think the biggest benefit as well is I just drove my car there every day as if I was going to training. So you kind of didn't, you know, I just felt like it was a normal day until I actually got in there with all the crowds. And, you know, my lock cover, I was in locker 60 and I think locker 62 was Novak Djokovic sitting right next to me. So obviously that makes you a bit nervous, and that's pretty cool. But it felt like I was just going to training every day, and I tried to keep it like that. So I just drove myself, and I didn't use the transport. I didn't stay in a hotel, and I think that... But I benefited from that because I was pretty relaxed the whole way through it before and once it started as well. So, yeah, it was definitely a huge advantage.
Dylan, I mentioned your opponent, David Wagner. We shouldn't understate how big an achievement this is for you, not just your maiden Grand Slam, but beating a quality opponent like Wagner. He is a 40-year-old who has won 6 Grand Slams and gold at the last 3 Olympics. So, you know, this is one of the great tennis achievements by an Australian in some time, Dylan.
Yeah, it was a huge win for me. And the first 6 times I played him last year, I got pumped. And I couldn't crack through. So I started getting a bit... I won a few towards the end of the year against him. We seemed to be playing each other in a lot of finals. And then, to beat him at home, I think... He almost didn't get in, actually, on the countback. He got in by one game on countback because he was even with someone else to get into the final on a round on the countback. And I'm glad he did because, I mean, if you want to be the best, you've got to be the best. And to be able to beat him, a true champion of the game, it was a huge achievement for me. So, yeah, it was a great week.
Some fair support you've gained in recent days since winning the title. We spoke about the big crowd out on show court 6, but I've seen a couple of tweets from the likes of Tanasi Kokkinakis, and I understand a good friend of yours, even a gym buddy, in Nick Kyrgios, so it must be nice to have the support of some up-and-coming tennis stars.
Yeah, they're actually legends, those two dudes, and Sam Groff and all the guys that are in at Tennis Australia. I think I've come across some basketball where I was lucky enough to win a gold in the Paralympics, and to be able to come into tennis where you train with these guys, and, you know, often between the Olympians and Paralympians, you know, in the past, it wasn't always the best relationship. But now, these days, when I'm in there, these guys are helping me train. I'm helping them train. And I've got a great relationship with them. So, yeah, to get that support off Nick and Tanasi and Crossy and all the tweets that I got, it really does mean a lot to know that I have, you know, their backing and Tennis Australia's backing and everything that I do because I've been training pretty hard for this. And to be able to pull through and to have them so proud of me, it is pretty cool.
Dylan, I wouldn't think you would have had any concerns over your ability to go the distance from a fitness point of view in this tournament. A lot of people wouldn't know that back in December, you actually broke a world record by becoming the first man to play tennis continuously for 24 hours. So this little, you know, hour or two knockout on the court wouldn't have been any drama for you.
I was going to say, yeah, I think I combined, I played about 6.5 hours of tennis on that for the whole tournament across the 5 matches. So, it was a good warm-up doing the 24-hour thing. I tell you what, I don't recommend anyone else tries it because I was a wreck. I actually had to have about 3.5 weeks off and I had my wrist in a brace because of the swelling, trying to get the swelling down and stuff like that. So it was definitely hard, but to raise $100,000 for two charities that helped me out when I was in hospital, when I was a kid, the Starlight Foundation and Variety, the children's charity for kids with disabilities, it was an amazing day, a really humbling day. I had some incredible support from friends and family and sponsors and the media and everything like that. So to be able to get through the 24 hours was a huge achievement. And then obviously to back it up and complete the summer by winning the Australian Open, it's been a dream couple of months.
Dylan, you mentioned your background in basketball. A lot of people wouldn't be familiar with the fact that tennis wasn't your first sport. You won gold at the Beijing Olympics as part of our men's Paralympic wheelchair basketball team, backed up in London for a silver medal. So why the switch to tennis? Was it a matter of these have been two competing loves, or you just felt you'd achieved all you needed to in basketball and wanted a new challenge? What was the reason behind switching sports?
Yeah, I always played tennis when I was a kid. Tennis was my first love, and I got to travel the world playing Australian representative junior tennis. But I ended up going with the basketball because I think I had a better chance of winning a gold when I was so young at 17, and I ended up with a good decision. And then was lucky enough to win a world championship in 2010 and silver in London. And look, to be honest, I had enough of the basketball. I went traveling around the world, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to play sport at all in any facet. I really actually want to work in TV and radio moving forward. But I had a hit of tennis in 2013, and I loved it. And the opportunities that I now have, and traveling the world, getting a tan, getting to play in Grand Slams, well, it's pretty good at the moment. So I'm very much enjoying it.
And for a man who wasn't quite sure whether he wanted to continue playing sport, I imagine winning your maiden Grand Slam would provide you now with a fair bit of hunger. So what's next? What are your preparations take you towards now, Dylan?
Yeah, I'm off over. We start our overseas circuit, I guess. We only have, obviously, the summer of tennis here, and then everything is overseas. So it's America in March, then Asia in May, Europe, June, July, and then US Open and things like that end of the year. So it's a busy schedule, but I think the next big goal, obviously the Grand Slams and that, but I really want to win gold in Rio because I don't think there's been many athletes who've won two golds in two different sports across two different Olympics or Paralympics. So to be able to do that would be a huge achievement. So that's definitely on the horizon in 2016. I think everything's gearing up for that. And then from there, I think, I'm not sure, mate. We'll cross that bridge when I come to it. But I think for the next week, I'm definitely going to enjoy a bit of quiet time and be here just to relax because I've been working pretty hard.
Well, it's a great goal to have, to go and represent your country for a third time and in a second different sport, Dylan. So we look forward to tracking your progress. You mentioned a career in TV and radio, so we're more than happy to be a sounding board and for you to strut your stuff here in preparations for post-tennis career.
Good on you, mate. We'll chat soon.
Thanks, Dylan. Dylan Allcott there after taking home his maiden Grand Slam in the men's wheelchair quad event, the Australian Open, over the weekend. He beat American David Wagner 6-2, 6-3 to claim the title. Just to repeat, this achievement shouldn't be understated. Wagner is a six-time Grand Slam champion and has won gold at the last three Paralympics in the men's tennis event. This was Dylan's first Grand Slam final, and he is one from one. After winning gold as a 17-year-old in the wheelchair basketball team at the Beijing Paralympics, silver in London in the same team, he's now converted to tennis and making every post a winner. This man is a star, Dylan Allcott, and I can't wait, personally, to stay in touch with him as he heads towards his goal of winning gold in the tennis at the Games in Rio in 2016. Dylan Allcott, what an absolute star.